Mike came in, he said, "What's this, a barber chair?" But you guys have been around long enough that I always, for evening studies, I always sat because rabbis always sat and the people stood where they taught, but we don't do that to you here. But I'm really thinking that it's barber chair. I got scared when he said that because I saw Jeff up here and Jeff's face is bald now. So maybe it is a good barber chair. I don't want to get my hair cut because it's too short. I never had hair this short. My hair used to be all the way down my back. So, anyhow, that was 1,000 years ago. 1980s. Well, 1970s, actually. 80s. Matthew chapter 10. We are in Matthew chapter 10 as we go verse by verse on our way through the entire Bible. So if you open your Bible up to Matthew chapter 10 and follow along, I always encourage you to do that and take notes because there's a lot of stuff here. You know, in fact, you learn here more than you do in a college class on the book of Matthew. If you pay attention, and I said take notes and remember it, we try to get you to understand it so that you can teach it, not just and like learn it. That's what we try to do. So Matthew chapter 10, let's turn there. We'll pray another quick prayer. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word, Lord. May it go through our hearts, our minds, Lord, and our spirit. Father, and those of us who are born again, Lord, and our spirit man would absorb these things, these words that were taught by our Master and Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, here in the beginning, we're coming off when Jesus, it said, you remember from the end of chapter 9 we covered last week, he said to his disciples in the last verse 37 and 38, "The harvest is truly plentiful and the labors are few. Therefore, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send labors into his harvest." Now, that prayer is answered here in chapter 10 because Jesus, not only out of all of his disciples, and you're going to go over these words. Now, we hear the word disciple all the time. Disciple means a disciplined follower in English. Greek word's mathetes. And it means more than just somebody who is learning from someone, because that's what we all think, like a rabbi who's teaching you. But a disciple actually would take on some of the characteristics of the discipler, the master, as they would call him, as Jesus was. So there were lots, there were hundreds of disciples. But out of them, Jesus, we know from the Gospels of Mark and Luke, not here in Matthew, prayed all night who he was going to pick for his apostle. Now, apostle is different. Apostle is, the Greek word means sent one, literally. Apostello means the sent one. Someone that you send out. And that's exactly who they were. These guys were representative. And says, verse 1, "And when he," Jesus, "had called his 12 disciples to him." Now, notice the 12. Now, they're always called the 12. 12 is important. The number 12 is a number of government in the Bible. There were how many tribes in Israel? 12. So, just like there were 12, and God talked about the 12 tribes. Now here we got 12 apostles. By the way, they're both important in the book of Revelation. There's special designation given in the eternal kingdom there in the New Jerusalem for both the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. So he had called his 12 disciples to himself. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, I got to stop on this. The word power there, the Greek word exousia, and some of your translations might have authority, because that's the idea. Jesus gave them authority. Now, there are a lot of goofy people today who think that they have that same kind of authority, and they don't. Jesus gave it to the apostles. And see, you need to know this, because people go around saying they can heal like that. Well, if you go, you see them, or how about raise the dead? Now, I don't like to usually name false teachers here because I always get lots of emails, and I'm probably going to get this, but false teacher Heidi Baker and Bethel Church both say We raise the dead. Well, and we're in Africa, we raise the dead. Well, where are the dead raised in Africa if you do that? I mean, that's easy. I could tell you I went to South America and raised the dead. You know, what does that mean unless you really raise somebody that was dead? That's a big deal for me. If you raise the dead, that would be on not just the evening news, but on the worldwide news. Somebody raised the dead. But listen, Jesus raised the dead. We saw that last week. Jairus' daughter was dead. And Jesus said to her, Talitha kumi, get up. And she got up. And now here, look at this. The apostles were given, he gave them exousia, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. Jesus gave them the authority to do that. And he later gives them authority to raise the dead. Now listen, he doesn't give us that authority. And that's what I want you to know. Now I do, if you want to pray, pray. If somebody's freshly has expired, pray. By all means, I say to do that. Pray over the sick. But we just don't have that kind of authority. That's what my point is. But a lot of Wolverines today will tell you that you do when we really don't. In fact, the church I mentioned there in Redding, California, I don't want to say the name again, they say that they do that. They say that they have authority. They have a class, a school of, and I have to use quotations, that's why I have to do this, the school of healing. Because all the people I saw come out, I haven't seen any healing really going on like they say. And that's an issue with me. Again, you might think I'm being critical, but I don't really see it. And I'd like to see it. I want to see that, actually. I want to see God doing that. But as I just said Sunday, there's some days where we pray over people and we can't even move a dead fly's wing. I mean, that's how it is. Other times God does stuff, but he does it of his own sovereign will because God's sovereign. Do I believe it's going to? Yes. Do I believe he can? Absolutely. Do I want him to? 100%. Do I believe when I pray? Yes, I do. But sometimes it does not. Sometimes it does. And you need to get that down now because you go around listening to these Word of Faith people on the radio and on TV, and they say it all the time. And they're talking about something different. When they say the word faith, they say it's a force that you create. That's not what we're talking about. This says Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits. That's over demons to cast them out. Now, he did give that to us in the Great Commission to pray over people to cast out unclean spirits. And you should. And to heal of all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. In verse 2 now, enough on that. In verse 2, he names the 12 apostles. It says, in fact, that's what the first words say. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. So we come to the names. And this is important now because we have here listed in Matthew the 12 apostles. Not just here, but also in Mark 3 and in Luke 6. Easy to remember. Mark 3, Luke 6, and then in Acts chapter 1. We have three lists. Now, there's differences in them in the variants of the names, which we're going to cover in a second. And in the book of Acts, Judas had already committed suicide, so he was not listed with the names of the apostles. In fact, the apostles, the 11, replaced him with Matthias, who they prayed over and cast a lot and picked Matthias to be the replacement for Yehuda, Judas. In fact, in all the lists, Peter is always mentioned first. That's important. Simon Peter. And Judas is always mentioned last with the tag, which was to betray him. Interesting. In all those lists, except for in Acts chapter 1. Here we have, beginning, just like I said, Peter first. It said, there are these. Simon, Hebrew, Shimon, who was called Peter. He's called Little Stone or Rocky by Jesus as a nickname. And Andrew, his brother. So you got these two brothers. Peter is always named first, as I said. because he was kind of the spokesman. He was the one on the day of Pentecost who brought 3,000 people to be baptized at the same time. So he did had a powerful ministry. But Peter is also the one who you see always putting his foot in his mouth. He was the one at the Mount of Transfiguration when he sees Jesus glorified and sees most likely, Lord, do you want me to build for you us? We can build three tents, tabernacles for you, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, because he wanted them to stay. Peter was the one who denied Jesus three times after being warned by Jesus at the Last Supper when he said, I'll die for you. And Peter said, Peter, I'll die for you, Jesus. I'm not going to be like that. But a few hours later, a little girl, a little teen, maybe even a preteen she was, by the fire that the enemies of Jesus had built in the courtyard of the high priest, said, I think I saw you. You were out there with him. And it started Peter denying Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And in a verse we're going to read in this chapter, Jesus said, whoever confesses me in front of people, I'll acknowledge them. Whoever denies me, I'll deny them. Peter was a wreck. And it was the same Peter who Jesus restored in John chapter 21. When he said, Peter, lovest thou? And he said, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. Three times, Jesus asked him that question. So that's Simon, who Jesus changed his name to Peter. Jesus changed people's names. I do the same thing. I call people different things. I have a twin sister. Everyone calls her Jerry. I always call her either in English Geraldine or in Italian Geraldine, her name, but nobody else does. I mean, like the only one, weird. I call my brother, my younger brother, whose name was Dennis, I call him Rocky all the time. I call him a bunch of names, but I call people names. That's a weird thing. And I do that to people. I call, and you might see me do that, call you a different name, but Jesus changed his name to Peter. And Andrew was his brother. Andrew was his brother and his fishing partner. And Jesus called them. James, the son of Zebedee, and Yochanan, or John, his brother. James, by the way, whose real name is Jacob. King James, I guess, wanted his name in the King James Bible, and we have James. The name in Greek is Jacoboi, which is translated from the Hebrew name Yaakov, Jacob in English. Always, whenever you see a James in the New Testament, it's always Jacob. I'm just telling you guys that because there's a couple of us tonight and I can share that data with you. Always is. Never James. But you have James. And James is, their brothers, always mentioned first. And then John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. John's name in Hebrew is Yochanan, always the same name. That's what these names were. I'm just telling you what they really were, just like Shimon and Andre. And then you have Jacob, and Yochanan. But in your English, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Also partners in fishing with their dad, who Jesus said, follow me. Then in verse 3, Philip and Bartholomew, they're paired together because Jesus is going to send them out two by two and they're paired together. The brothers are paired usually, and here you got Philip, who was an interesting guy, and Bartholomew, who we're going to get a lot of press on. But very interesting. And then Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew, of course, who wrote the book, always confessing that he was a publican, a tax collector, someone that we wouldn't like. Tax collectors. Just got the IRS bill in the mail for this quarter's taxes here today. And I just confess, and pray for me, I don't like tax collectors. And just like I said last week, if you were here, I don't like paying tax. Why? I go to Delaware. I really don't, honestly. I mean, I was so tight when we were poor. I would take my kids to our favorite restaurant, which is, it's called Border Cafe. We call it Jose's Cantina down in, I don't know what town's that in. It's in, is that Newark? Just for Newark. So we always, that's where we used to go because I don't like paying tax. I don't. But I do pay tax because my boss told me, render unto Caesar with his Caesars. Render unto Washington with his Washingtons. So I do when I have to. But if I can get out of it, I'll do it. So just letting you know. And they're watching, so probably going to get caught. My wife told me to watch where you stay. Because they're watching. And I'm probably going to get caught. But anyway, just saying that, Matthew is a tax collector, and he puts it in there. The only one has a job description, even though I just told you the first two sets of brothers were fishermen. Then you get another Yaakoboy, or James, the son of Alphaeus, who's also called Alphaeus, or he's called James the Lesser. Now, if you watch The Chosen, a stupid thing, which really annoys me, they call Big James and Little James. Has nothing to do with being big or little. The reason he's called James the Greater and James the Lesser is because James, the son of Zebedee, is mentioned more times. He gets more press. He says stuff. And we'll talk about him again in a little bit. But it's not less. But Matthew calls him James, the son of Alphaeus. And Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. And he's usually called Thaddeus. Again, not a lot about him. And then we get another Shimon, and here he says the Canaanite, who also is known as Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were crazy. And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So these are the 12 apostles. That's it. These are the 12. Then there's Matthias, and then there's Paul. Paul begins a whole new section of post-ascension apostles. But this is it. Because, I mean, a lot of people call themselves apostles around here. That term gets used loosely. And one of the requirements of being apostles is to see the resurrected Lord Jesus. But I know if I go, and again, no offense to the First Church of God or the Apostolic Hour of the Holy Ghost there in Philadelphia, they have apostles. They haven't seen the resurrected Jesus. And that's always a problem with me. It really is. But I struggle with it because they say that they're apostles. Now, going back here on the apostles, which is really important because these guys, again, there's a lot said about them, a lot written about them. There's a lot of books you can read about the apostles, and a lot of them have bad stuff, and a couple of them have good things. And I just want to say this, going back down to Simon Peter. Simon Peter, as I said, put his foot in his mouth and he did a lot of bad things and Jesus restored him to the ministry, yes. And he was the one who proclaimed the gospel there in Acts chapter 2. A hero of mine. And the same Peter who was hiding before Pentecost, he was hiding with locked doors, afraid that the Romans or the Jews were going to come and take them away and kill them. That same Peter boldly preached the gospel. He ministered, and he went all around. He ministered in Babylon and went out of Israel and ministered in Rome. I mean, the same Peter was eventually arrested. And Peter was put in the Mamertine prison in Rome for 9 months, chained. Now, I want to tell you this, and it's gross, but I want to tell you, the Mamertine prison was a dungeon, and they would chain your arms up like this for days at a time. And they would let one arm go to feed, so you could feed yourself. But, that's a nice way to say this in mixed company, there was no lavatory. When you were chained like this, you only have one option. And there were people that died just from the fumes of the waste in that prison. And not only that, the rats were running around your feet while you were chained. So it's like, that's the kind of place that Peter stayed, preaching the gospel boldly. He led 24 Roman soldiers to the Lord while he was in that prison. And just imagine that. After the ninth month, he was taken out of prison to be executed. And to make it harder for him, they brought his wife out. And to his wife he said, "Remember, woman, remember thou the master, the Lord who we serve." And she was crucified in front of Peter. And then when they were about to nail Peter to the cross, he says, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord." And they crucified him upside down. That's Peter, the one who hid, the one who ran, who was bold, and was crucified upside down and then lit on fire. They thought that they ridded the world of Peter. In fact, by story, they say this happened on Vatican Hill in Rome, where is built today the Vatican. In fact, at the end of June, my whole family, for the first time ever, we're going to Italy. All my kids except my son are going to Italy. We're all going to Italy together, and we're going to tour the Vatican. I want to see the library. I can't wait. But that's where they say Peter was crucified upside down. And, you know, there's a movie called Quo Vadis, which you can watch free, stream for free. Quo space Vadis, Latin. And that has this, that story in it. And it's fascinating, too, because you see Peter get filled with the Holy Spirit as an old man. He's crucified upside down there. Very interesting. Why a lot of those old movies, like The Robe and Ben-Hur, I encourage you to watch. They always treat Jesus with reverence in every one of those. So Peter, now Andrew was crucified too. He was crucified on what we call the St. Andrew's cross. It looks like an X. You usually see it, it's red and it's X, an X with one of the legs shorter than the other. That's what Andrew was crucified on. Again, you can read about this, about the apostles. There's three books you can look up on the internet and read about these things. And again, you gotta watch out because they put a lot of extra things in it. I recommend the pre-Nicene church fathers, which might be a little, the early church fathers to read about the apostles if you're really interested. So then you get come to James and John. James was the first martyr. James was killed by the sword in Herod there in the book of Acts. And Herod saw it pleased everyone. That's why he started trying to execute more apostles. James, the son of Zebedee, or as we know his name, Yaakov, Jacob, and Yochanan, John, his brother. Now, John, out of all these guys, is the only one we have a record of death. In fact, at the end of John, the story that John exposes says, when Jesus told Peter how he was going to glorify him, you remember that? After Jesus restored Peter, I told you that earlier, it says, John says, he told him by what kind of death he was going to glorify him. He said, when you're older, they're going to take you away to a place you don't want to go. And what did Peter do? But what about him? He points at John. What about him? And Jesus says, if I choose that he remains alive till I come, what's that to you? But for you, follow me. I did a message on that. When we get to John chapter 21 again, I'll do, maybe I'll rerun that one. I don't know. It's up to God. But that's a good message too. What about him? What about you? What about, don't worry about him. Worry about yourself. You follow me, Peter. And you follow Jesus too. Don't worry about what happened to John. If John's still alive somewhere, like all these legends, stories say, it's kind of crazy. I don't believe that. I believe he died of a natural age. And that ended the apostolic era. But no record of it. So people can write books if they want. I guess it sells, so let him try. Next two we got is Philip and Bartholomew. Philip was the one who just had some really wise things to say. Again, not much press in the four Gospels about him or Bartholomew, but they're paired together. Faithful brethren. Philip was killed by, they say, in India, I believe, just like Thomas. And Bartholomew, he was thrown off the top of the temple in Jerusalem by the Jews, by tradition. Now Thomas, again, as I mentioned, Thomas and Matthew, Thomas was killed in India. They started skinning him alive. I mean, it was a horrible death. Thomas is famous in India because he brought the gospel to India. But the Hindus skinned him alive. Matthew, again, there's debate over what happened to him, Matthew Levi. Some believe he was stoned to death, which is very probable. But again, we don't know the exact. All we have is traditions and stories in those early church fathers. So Matthew, he was, again, all these guys put brutal death for being called the 12. Well, I wish I could be one of the 12, but that came with one being one of the 12, was martyrdom. Like I said, everyone except John and Judas were martyred. Then you have James the Lesser, or James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, who was called Thaddeus. These two, again, there's traditions about how they were killed. I don't want to get in too much time on that because I'm already giving these traditions too much press here, but you can read, again, you can just Google on the internet, but watch the source you read. Try to look at the early church. There's the pre-Nicene and anti-Nicene church fathers, so you can look up yourself. Again, I had to buy the books. You can read it for free now. But go figure. You can read all this stuff for free because it's all PDF'd on the internet. And then you get Simon the Canaanite, who's all Simon the Zealot, as I said. Zealots were crazy, by the way. This guy was a zealot, but he became one of Jesus' apostles. Zealots, Josephus called them the dagger men, because a zealot knew how to, they carried these daggers on them, and they knew how to go up to a Roman soldier when the Roman soldier wasn't looking and either slit his throat real fast before he knew what was going on, or put the dagger in between where the armor was to destroy their organs and rip, and they would die a painful death. And they did that in the name of Israel. Simon the Zealots. This was Simon was before he met the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus radically changed him. And he was called a Canaanite, too. We get from the note here. And then Judas Iscariot. Now, I want to tell you this. Judas did not have the name Judas. Judas' name was, in Hebrew, Yehuda, or Judah. How you say Judah? It was a blessed, good name in Israel, Yehuda. Jesus was from the tribe of Yehuda, Judah. You know that. Yehuda means praise, and that's what his name meant. He didn't get called Judas and look like some sinister, you know, snodly snodgrass. He didn't do that. That's what you think. In fact, he looked great. He was zealous for Israel and zealous for Jesus. He was. He was sent out to cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead with the other guys. And he did miracles for Jesus to prepare the way for Jesus to come to all these cities. He was in charge of the treasury. He was given the money bag. He paid the bills. Now, Matthew, who wrote this, must have thought, and I would think too, how come Matthew wasn't? Matthew was an expert in counting and taking care of finances, wasn't he? But you see, he was a tax collector, and the guys all thought tax collectors are thieves. But yet, Judas looked good, and he was a thief. Why do you say that, Pastor Joe? I watched Jesus Christ Superstar, and I thought Judas was a hero. No, Judas was a thief. If you read the Gospel of John, at the Last Supper, it said Judas was a thief and used to help himself to what was in the money bag. That's why he was upset. When they broke open the alabaster jar of pure lard and poured it over Jesus' feet, the woman, Mary, Lazarus' sister, when that happened, he got upset. And he said, we're wasting it. What are you doing? We could have sold it and gave the money to the poor. He was saying that, John says, because he was a thief. And he wanted access to the filthy lucre. That's what he wanted. He did. That's why, you know, you got to watch when, you know, people in ministry should not have access to the filthy lucre. You have checks and balances, what we do here. You can't just have open, you know, like, just like, even even when we sell eggs back there or we do something like that, the money gets counted and it's given to our treasurer who takes the funds. And then we have a bookkeeper who's from Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia, is a CPA, and he goes over our books. We don't just do whatever we want. And I was just telling some guys at the men's meeting, we do that because we want to be accountable. Because there could be a Judas. Listen, we probably had Judases before. Remember coming in here on a Sunday night and the agape box, the hinges were off it and it was open. That's the guy who was here. Where are the money? Oh, I don't know how that happened. Well, the screws don't come off the things. I think I got Dave to fix it. I don't remember. It was years ago. The screws don't come off the hinges by themselves. Somebody did that. And see, there are people who do that kind of scummy stuff. We had to have a floor drop safe put in the office because money from the offering just disappeared. Just went like this. And see, that's a big deal because I got to call the police, I have to have a police report, I have to have all kinds of stuff. We've had things stolen. I had a bass guitar. Still, somebody borrowed it out of the closet in a break room, and it still never was returned. And that's why I lend people CDs and DVDs. You want to know how many CDs and DVDs and music CDs I lend out and I don't write them? Or books. How many books? I've spent a lot of money on books. I have so many books out that people don't return. Which, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube right now, seriously, if you have books with my name or usually in the front, has a stamp. I even have a stamp I put in. Please return it because I invest a lot of money in books and I collect them and I don't like to see them going out, especially books that are out of print and I can't get anymore. And I give them to people to help them. Somebody have a marriage problem, I give them a book on it, you know. But no, really, seriously, give it back because you don't want to be like Judas, right? And if you stole money from the church, give it back because, listen, you're going to answer to, listen, you can take it, but you're going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not going to be fun, trust me. And again, you know, taking money out that time, it would have been about, you know, I think in 2007 or 8, that was a freak out for me. I got upset about it because we leave doors open and things open. And now we have to lock everything. And I don't like it to be that way with brothers and sisters. It shouldn't be like that. I mean, really, you have to watch things now. It's why we have security upgraded security now, because you don't know what's going to happen, who's going to walk in. And there's kooks out there that come and shoot up churches and synagogues, and that's crazy. And so we have people watching all the time. They don't get to stay in the whole service because they're watching for you. So you can sit here and relax and kick back. You know, that's the way things are now. You have to understand that. There's thieves out there. There's robbers. And again, the worst ones are in Washington, D.C., really, I'm serious. I'm not lying. I was just telling someone today, yeah, this girl gets elected to the House of Representatives. She's poor. She said she couldn't pay her rent. She was a barmaid in New York City. And now she's a millionaire. How does that happen for $135,000 a year? I don't understand that. Yeah, for 3 years, $135,000. If you got a house in D.C. and a house in New York, apartment in New York, I know that you're putting out at least $5,000 a month minimum for rent or mortgage. How does that happen? Somebody tell me. I want to get $135,000 a year and become a multimillionaire. I want to. And I'll tell you the reason is because they're taking special interest group money. That's why. Again, and that kind of stuff happens. And you need to know that. You need to realize that's the country you live in. You know, I wish we could trust everybody there. Oh, I'd like to trust everyone in Washington. I would. But the only one we can trust is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust brothers and sisters in Christ. And I trust the Lord. I really don't put confidence in any other organization. Because people get paid off. And again, I was just telling someone this today. It's hard. If somebody comes and says, hey, Kathy, and thank you for your nice donation. And I'm glad that now you're now a member of Congress, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to pay for all three of your kids to go to Harvard University for their tuition. I'll get them accepted. I'll pay their tuition, and I'll pay their housing while they're there. Now, that's a big gift. But then 3 years later, I ask her, oh, you know, I need you to do me a favor in your voting. And see, now she feels committed to do that because I gave her that free gift. It's no different than doctors. Your doctors having these drug junket people coming, pharmaceutical, to their office, and they buy them lunch, and they take them on vacation. Nice conference. We're going to have a conference, but we're going to do it in Hawaii. And you get a free, you and your wife get a free trip. You just come to a couple classes. Now that happens. That happens. And the doctor starts prescribing that brand. You know, that's really happens. What I'm telling you happens in real life. Now, I guess some of you know that already, I'm sure, but that really happens. Judas had the money, and he used to help himself. Now, he couldn't go out and buy a Cadillac because they would have saw, or even a donkey, because he's with the guys all the time. But it says he helped himself, and he probably stashed it somewhere. And he denied Jesus. Every single time his name's mentioned, you see this, Judas Iscariot, Yehuda Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Jesus changed Peter's name from Simon to Peter, but Judas, as Keith Green says, he changed it to mud. And it's just, again, a sad commentary. He ended up committing suicide. That's the one form of death is, you know, most groups of Christians believe you commit suicide, you're done. And had he repented, I believe he would have forgiven, but it said he was the son of perdition. That means waste. The only other person who in the Bible is called as the son of perdition is who? Antichrist. That's it. So it's very interesting. And you look at all the story of the apostles here. And again, there's a lot more that I'm just briefing out these things about these 12, about what they did. Again, the lists are here in Matthew chapter 10, and Mark chapter 3, and Luke chapter 6, and Acts chapter 1. And you can check them out and compare and contrast between them on your own time. I encourage you to do that. Verse 5 says, these 12, Yeshua, Jesus, sent out and commanded them, didn't ask them, saying, do not go into the way of the Goyim, the Gentiles. That's non-Jews. I get very grateful every time I read this. They were only to be sent out, and do not go to the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's it. Jesus was originally sent to Israel. Because they rejected him, we get in. That's a good thing. It was pre-planned. But you need to be grateful. I'm very grateful. Because I'm not Jewish, because I wish I was, and I try to sound like it sometimes, but I'm not. He said, go into the way of the Goyim and do not enter the Samaria, even though Jesus would go there later with them, and they complained about it, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7, as you go, preach, or the word preach, kirizo, means proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because the king was on earth, you see, so the kingdom is at hand. There's a king and a kingdom. Heal the sick, he said. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Now, these are guys get freaked out when they saw Jesus do it. Now they're going to be doing it themselves. Cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. They received the authority, the exousia, for free. So don't charge anybody. And again, now again, I hate to say this, but I don't like. Now, I got saved in the 80s. And back then we had all kinds of wolves and false teachers on TV. And I was there, Peter Popoff, going, send your best gift. And here, you know, but you got to send your best gift. Or they would send me in the mail. I would get like sand from Israel. And I would get a vial of water, allegedly from Jerusalem, which they shouldn't be taking out because they need water there. And they would mail it to you. You have to mail. We're going to pray for you to be healed. If you're, but you send in your best gift, and they, you know, it would be $10, $50, $500. What? I don't have money like that. And people would send it in. When it was a letter that was written, manufactured by a company to raise money, there's fundraising money. We, you know, some churches use that. I would never do that. You'll never get your email. You never hear. Now, again, I wish some of you guys went to other churches. We're going to take another offering now. You know, we don't do that. We don't ask you for money. We don't, you got to tithe or you're not going to be blessed. You will be blessed if you tithe, but we never say that. We don't tell you that. We don't tell you to give. We don't tell you we need, really, we need. Now, we have this parking lot thing, and that's why I'm uncomfortable with it getting talked about all the time, because I don't like to talk about money. You know, I like to teach the Bible. I went to churches right even around here, and all they talk about is money. And they talk about tithing, giving your first 10%, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We don't really do that. Now, with that, I want to say there are ministries, again, that hire companies. When, does anybody get mail from any ministries? Like, they say, if you get it, you'll see it. There, it's a company does it. The church doesn't do it that they're sent by. They pay a company to get them so much. I mean, there used to be, again, there's stories, and I don't want to talk about this and take too much time about it, but I mean, it really grieves me because one ministry in Fort Worth, Texas, with a real word of faith, false teacher extraordinaire who lives in a big giant mansion, has a private jet, got confronted by a camera crew about his jet, and he, you know, first was freaking out, and the lady, and he starts real, acting real nice, but they went in their trash and saw all these prayer requests in the trash. The envelopes were open, and the checks were taken out. And there's several ministries. I mean, I remember there's one guy in Church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas, and he was real big, prayer ministry, and he got caught ripping off people. Exposed on ABC. Peter Popoff, who I mentioned, he had a little earpiece in his ear. And he would be walking around, and you've heard, probably heard me do this before, and he'd say, hey, your name is Mike? And like Mike would say, they would think he's getting a word of knowledge from God. Well, how does he know? The guy would start crying. And your doctor's name is Kelly? Yeah, that's it. And you came here because your leg, you can't stand on your leg in the name of Jesus. And he'll make a big thing. He'll throw his crutches on the away, and Mike will get up all crying, excited, walk. And it's all theatrics. And the guy would be getting his wife would be up in the sound booth saying, his name's Mike. He's a doctor. His name's Frank Kelly. He's got something the matter with his left leg. And that would be going on. Now that's bad. Because now he could pick and choose people that he could act like they're healed. And I do say that, act. Now, I do believe, yes, people got in line, got prayed for. I do believe people get prayed for because I believe God's merciful. I believe that those people who gave to those ministries got blessed too. Listen, I want to tell you this. I would never give a penny to them. But the people that gave to them got blessed because they gave to the Lord. Because everybody says, oh, what about the poor lady on welfare in Camden? She gave her last $10. I believe God blessed her. I believe she had more than that $10 because God blessed her. I wouldn't do it. But listen, Jesus saw the widow who gave her last 2 mites in the temple, and she threw it in. And he said, she gave more than all these people that were putting checks for $10,000 in. Why, Master? Because she gave everything she had. Temple treasury was where they got the 30 pieces of silver 2 days later to betray the Son of Man. Think about that. That same temple treasury. That's where they took out the 30 pieces of silver to find, to give to Yehuda Iscariot, Kerdioth, Judas, to betray the Son of Man. But she gave it to God. Think about that. It was predetermined by God, by his predetermined foreknowledge and his counsel, Peter said in Acts chapter 2. It wasn't something that just happened. And that's how it worked. So when you give to God, you give to God. I mean, because I gave places I wish I didn't before. Since I was saved, I gave more than a tithe. Then I had to calm down because I made less money and start live by tithing. But my wife and I always tithed, even when we were poor. And God blessed us. So the giving isn't a bad thing. It's just that, again, you hear these people do this kind of stuff. It just gets me going. And, you know, I did that before. There are people who don't understand these words. Listen, freely you received, freely give. That's how our lives should be. And that's how he told his apostles. He said, verse 9, provide neither for gold nor silver. Jesus said, don't take your checkbook or any cash. That's what he's telling them, to go by faith. Now, that's hard too. As I told you before, Ann and I, who's watching, I'm sure, we went to Texas. I went to college. We got married. We got engaged Christmas, married in the beginning of June, and just in a year later went to Texas. We lived here in South Jersey for our first year married, got an apartment, and then we moved to West Texas to go to college. Texas was a different country. They say it down there. That's how they say it. They're very proud of it. It was way different living, and we were in culture shock. We went with nothing. We went with everything in the trailer, everything we had, and we drove to Texas, like the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, driving through hillbilly territory, really. And when I met the Texans, I thought they were hillbillies, the way they talked and all. They yawed me to death and made fun of the way I talk, called me Italian. And I said, I'm really not Italian. Y'all from New Jersey, and that's up in the Northeast. They consider, you know, they think North Jersey is all like Newark Airport. That's what they consider, that where we live. It just smells like pollution, and that's what they consider New Jersey. And I said, no, we're from the Garden State. What says they make fun of the license plate on my 1976 Chevy Monte Carlo I drove there. And they said Garden State. They didn't know what it meant. They were confused. We're the Garden State. And there's all kinds of farms here, just like there is in Texas. I had to tell them, except we got more trees. They didn't have any trees. And we got there and wanted to turn around and go home because it was in August and the sun was beating down. And it's like right on top of you. And there's no clouds. Nothing to shelter you from the sun. There's nowhere to go. And we're driving on the interstate, and it was so hot. And you could see the heat rising. It's just like on a movie. You see the heat rising. Are we sure we want to do this? But we had a great time there. Spent many years there. We're happy we went. But we went by faith. God got us an apartment for I think it started out $175 a month, which was nothing then. We didn't have the money. No job. We went by faith, and God paid every one of our bills. I tell you the truth. We went to a real expensive Southern university where the president of Mobil Oil's daughter was going to the same school we were going to. And they all had, you know, all those boys and girls have real nice clothes and new cars. And here we are, I was a Bible major, that's what they say. And God took care of us and got scholarships and money. We had to get loans too, which we shouldn't have done. It took forever to pay them off, but God took care of us. That's what I'm trying to say. God took care of us. And I believe it's because we gave. Freely receive, freely give. We freely gave. And we met lots of friends that we're still friends with now, 40 years later. So Jesus said to do this, don't take because he sent them out, don't take any gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, no cash, change, or checks or credit cards, nor bag for your journey. Because I like the old King James. Following along says script. Script, I thought we'd talk about prescription. But no, that's old English word for bag for your journey, or suitcase, we would say. Nor two tunics. Don't even take two shirts. Nor sandals or set. Don't take any extra anything. Just take one staff, one pair of sandals. For a worker is worthy of his food. Where you're going, they'll take care of you, Jesus telling them. Now they don't know where they're going to strange towns. But that's what he did. But they're going to lay the groundwork for Yeshua, for Jesus to come. And that's what was neat. Verse 11. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire or ask if it's worthy and stay there till you go out. Ask if it's worthy. Hey, is this town worthy? Meaning worthy about the kingdom. Verse 12. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. Notice this, though. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And from that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Which I'm going to say it again. I just said a couple weeks ago, I've done that several places. I've took my shoes off and beat them and shook the dust off. I usually talk about the Jehovah's Witness Elder Study. Ann and I and this guy we were with were at. Where I actually said, shake the dust off my feet, you know, because I thought that was the right thing to do. Jesus saying symbolically, I did it literally. But I probably still would. So don't, you might not, you know, I would still do something like that. I'm crazy like that. I'm the idol buster, remember? But Jesus said, that's what you do. You shake the dust off your feet. And verse 15 says, assuredly I say to you, it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah were overthrown for homosexuality and perverted sin. And Jesus said it's going to be bad. That's why I worry about the country I live in right now, because all I hear about, your president yesterday when he announced his candidacy, he said about conservatives, who I would be considered one of those guys, by the way, you know, that we ban books, he said. We ban books. What he's talking about is in sex education in school, I would ban a book that teaches, I don't like to say this, kindergartners to second grade about having anal sex. I would ban that. I'd admit that. So he says that about me. I'm one of the people that would do that. But that's what he says. And Jesus said that it's going to, when he says this, more tolerable than Sodom and Gomorrah, I worry about our country. I really do. Because they program your kids. When you send them to school now, they get programmed to be socialists, number one, and perverts, number two. That's what they train them to be. It doesn't matter who you have sex with. Yes, it does. Sex is held only, absolutely only, for one man and one woman in marriage. That's it. That is the whole candlestick right there. There's no variance on that. And that's what people try to change. And the more you get liberal on that, the crazier you get. That's what it's for, really. I mean, seriously. If you know, Paul says, very easy. It's real simple. If you burn, marry. I think that's real easy. If you have the gift, which most people don't have, and you can tell if you have the gift. If you have desire, you don't have the gift. And there are people who can, maybe, you know, then be celibate. And I appreciate there are many people, Christians, who struggle with same-sex attraction and stuff like that, and they choose to be celibate. That's a good thing. Listen, it's a good thing to do. I have a relative like that. That's a good thing to do. I don't think it's bad if you have the gift. But don't be someone without the gift, say, a Catholic priest, who are forced into celibacy, and then they rape little boys. That's a horrible thing. That's very horrible. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than that guy who says he's a representative of Jesus. I'm just saying. I mean, again, don't look, what's he saying that for? I'm just telling you the truth. This happens in real life. Some of you know, if you have kids, you send them to public school. That's the most dangerous place in the world. You have to be on top. They, in Washington, gone and talk, Washington Township, Gloucester County, seconds from here, or even in your public school district, You need to know. You go to a school meeting and they kick parents out for questioning stuff about the perversion, what they're teaching your kids. I'm seriously. I went from Catholic school. Our sex education was, don't get too close when you dance. You know, that to go into public school where they taught about that. Oh, make sure you shower and shave and do all this stuff and, you know, and wear a condom. That's what they taught us, even though they weren't supposed to say that in the 70s. They were saying it in public school. And they showed films. I was shocked. I mean, again, coming from Catholic school to go there, I was like, I couldn't believe it. Now, again, I was no angel. I already was doing all that stuff because I was a wicked person. But that's what they showed you. And what's going on now, you wouldn't believe when I tell you that. I am in total shock. I can't even listen to it because I get too upset. I sent my kids to Christian school. And some of them went to graduate from public high school, so they went to our local public high school, which has the same first name as this place. I dreaded that. I think about it now. Just the socialism and everything else. They tried to teach against God. And that's what they do. And that's, we're in it right now. We have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And guess what? The kingdom of God's going to win. But it doesn't look like that today in the United States, but it's going to win. Jesus said it's coming. So, again, when you read him say this, it's a true statement. Verse 16, I know we're only going to a couple more verses. People are starting to sweat, saying, oh no, we're going to be here at 10 o'clock. Verse 16, Jesus says, behold, I send you out in the midst as sheep in the midst of wolves. What? That's what I would say. What? A sheep. Sheep are the only defenseless animals. They don't do anything. I love sheep. They don't do anything. They don't protect themselves at all. Wolves eat sheep. I mean, guess you need to know that. That's what wolves do. They don't just attack them. They eat them. They eat sheep. That's why in church, we are sheep. And we watch out for wolves because wolves eat sheep. And you can see that as I was talking about these ministries before. There are many sheep that got eaten by those people. Because that's what wolves do. Sheep are just bat, bat, and eat grass. They don't even look up. That's all they do. They eat grass, they reproduce. That's it. They grow wool. And they let people steal their wool, too. They get cold and people use it. That's what happens. That's real life, guys. And you have to watch out for wolves. Jesus sent his apostles out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I remember somebody sent me a movie about a lawyer with Al Pacino who was in The Godfather. I don't remember what it was called. I remember I didn't return it. I broke the DVD because it had like so many F words in it. I can't watch stuff like that because it just bothers me. Because you start listening to it all the time. You start thinking it and it'll come out. It'll start coming into my mind. But this is the verse they use. It's about the devil's advocate. Is that the name of the real movie? Yeah, that's what it was. The devil's advocate. It was about Satan inspiring this lawyer. And this was a scripture that Satan on earth used. You know, they use scripture in the movie without explaining it. That's Jesus speaking to the apostles, not to every one of us, that he sends them out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus gives us all these animal applications. Sheep, wolves, and now serpents, wise as serpents. Now, you know, serpents don't have a big brain, scientists say. Oh, yeah? Crawl around on your belly in the dirt and try to survive. They do. Serpents, snakes. That's what they do. And harmless as doves. Doves, harmless birds. They build a nest in the spring. They hatch and they go and they're just real cute and they make sounds. Doves. That's how Jesus wants you to be. Now again, this is for the apostles, but this is how we're to live. We live as sheep in the midst of wolves. Know that. That's what the world is. The world's a dangerous place. They want to... Listen, Satan wants to make you miserable. If you're a Christian, he don't have you. He's mad right now. You just got saved. Satan's freaking out, mad at you. He can't touch you. But what he's going to do, he's going to make you miserable. You're going to get attacked. Just know that. You'll be attacked. You'll see things, bad things happen to you. You need to learn how to rebuke it in the name of Jesus, because he's going to keep doing it. And he's going to have the wolves come after you. Just know that. And that's how you live. Verse 17, but beware of men. Not all, just the wolves. Look, beware of men, for they will deliver you up in councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should say, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. Jesus said this a couple times. When you get, listen to God. Will be given to you. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up his brother to death, and father his child, and children rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you, you'll be loved by everybody. No, it doesn't say that. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Listen to that. All to endure, occupy and endure. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Wow, really? Now, what does that mean? Is he saying before he comes to preach there, or is he talking about when he comes back? That's a debated text there and something to pray over, because we don't really know. Just a couple more verses. Verse 24 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor is he above his master. A disciple is someone that's taught by the master. So the master is always better than the disciple in that they have wisdom and knowledge. That's what he's saying. Jesus has more than wisdom and knowledge. And so a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant to be like his master. If they call the master of this house Beelzebub, now Beelzebub means the chief and prince of demons, how much more will they call those of the household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will be not revealed and hidden that will not be known. We're going to stop there. We're going to pick up here next Wednesday. I meant to get through the whole chapter, but, you know, now it is. Let's stand and pray. I encourage you to read ahead. If you already read the rest of chapter 10 there, do it again and go into chapter 11. Because again, a lot of this stuff, this is real things. And this is a real world we live in. And all this evil and these wolves out there and the world, they want to get you. You're going to about to go out. When we leave here, and we have a sign in this hallway that goes out to the parking lot door that says, you're now entering the mission field, which you are. But remember, that field is wolves. And you're going as sheep in the midst of wolves. And the wolves want to devour. That's what you have to realize. You always have to remember that. I always remember that. Satan wants to take you out. He thinks it'd be the best thing in the world. But he has no authority. Listen, he has to have permission from God. He can't kill you. The devil can't attack you if you're born again. Listen, you're born again, baptized believer. You are secure in Christ. And he has authority. Nobody can die without his permission. The devil, listen, he can't do that. See, some people think Satan can kill us all. Nobody can make you miserable if you listen to him, because he'll whisper things in your ear. But listen, he doesn't know. He just can speak things to you. He can't get inside you like Jesus can. Jesus knows and searches your heart. The Spirit searches your heart and knows what's in you. The devil doesn't know anything. Only thing he knows is he's going swimming in the lake of fire for eternity, and he wants you to join him. That's what he wants. So if you're not, you don't know the Lord, and that's the problem. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will be with him, because anyone's name who's not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And I know you don't want to go there. And the only way is out through Jesus. That's it. Jesus said, unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. A sperm is born of water and spirit. They cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. The only way out is through Jesus. So again, if you're just tuned in by accident and you're hearing this, I encourage you to seek Jesus. And tune in to him, because the world only has death and destruction. It's up to you guys. So let's pray. We're going to have a short song. We'll do the single edit. So, because it's getting towards 9 o'clock. By the way, we're supposed to be done at 9. We get done early every week. We've been doing that from COVID. Dave Goodwin told me we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to do COVID time. Right, Dave? We can go over. So that's what we officially get done, is 9 p.m. Eastern time here. So if you're tuning in, that's where we're supposed to be done. So let's pray. Again,